Our next speaker is Dr. Allison McGeer. She is an internal medicine and an infectious disease specialist who trained at the University of Toronto, and she's also got a fellowship in hospital epidemiology. She's the microbiologist and the director of the infection control program at Mount Sinai Hospital. She's a longstanding member of NASI, and Allison is someone who does not shy away from controversy, definitely not a shrinking violet. And she's here to talk to us about adult immunization with pneumococcal vaccine, old and new.
Perfect. Morning, everybody. Thank you for inviting me, and my apologies for coming in and out today. It's a mistake to leave Vancouver sooner than you have to, but most of us, at least in Toronto and Ontario, are currently being swined, and you don't get to leave for very long under those circumstances. So it's a pleasure, actually, to talk about something other than influenza for a little while. I didn't choose the topic or the title, but I like the approach of thinking about old and new with pneumococcal vaccine, so that's how I'm going to organize it. I'm going to spend just a couple of minutes quickly looking at the epidemiology of pneumococcal disease in adults, talk about where we are with current vaccination programs and their impact on the incidence of serious pneumococcal disease in adults, and then ask what we might get out of new vaccines. So here we go. This is the fairly standard slide for adults in the developed world with the most common serious pneumococcal disease being pneumonia at a rate of about 15 per 10,000 population with a case fatality rate on the order of 5%. Invasive pneumococcal disease, which is almost all pneumococcal bacteremia, being at about a tenth that level with a case fatality rate of 15%. And then in adults, meningitis again being about a tenth of that rate with another 10% increase in case fatality rate. That puts pneumococcus at probably third on the list of pathogens that kill Canadians. Influenza, as you've already seen this morning, is well ahead of other pathogens on the list of what you die from in Canada. It's we keep thinking that influenza is not a serious disease. The truth of the matter is that everybody in this room is more likely to die from influenza than from any other infectious disease. Doesn't feel like it, but that's the truth. Staph aureus is actually probably number two, although a lot of staphylococcal infections are hospital-acquired as opposed to community, and strep pneumo used to be number two, and it's a measure of the success of vaccination programs that it's dropping below Staph aureus, but still the most common serious bacterial pathogen in the community in Canada. And everybody knows what this is, a slightly odd version of the traditional J-shaped curve that is typical for serious disease due to any pathogen. High rates in children under the age of 5 and adults over the age of 65 and a drop in the middle. Children 0 to 4, the incidence is high, but the case fatality rate is low. Case fatality rate obviously increases in older people. So when you look at disease incidence, most common in people over the age of 65 and under the age of 5, when you look at number of cases of disease, obviously population between 5 and 65 is so much larger that the majority of cases actually occur between 5 and 65. So that's the background. In Canada, the 23-valent polysaccharide pneumococcal vaccine was licensed in 1983. And between 1996 and 1999, across most of Canada, pneumococcal polysaccharide programs got introduced, like influenza vaccination programs for healthcare workers. They haven't been very successful. I think actually they probably, it's probably the least successful vaccination program that we run, and there's not great data on vaccination rates in eligible adults in Canada, but here's three different surveys that have been done, all saying that people over the age of 65 have vaccination rates between 30 and 45%. People 15 to 64 years of age with chronic conditions have vaccination rates between 10 and 15%. As you already heard Ian this morning talking about people under the age of 65 not identifying themselves as being at risk, and that's very clearly what happens with pneumococcal vaccine as well. The primary reason that this program has not been effective is because of questions about how good this vaccine is. And one of our big problems with it is that we call it the pneumonia vaccine. But it's not a pneumonia vaccine, okay? It doesn't prevent pneumococcal pneumonia. Okay, and there are now a whole series of randomized controlled trials. If you're a South African gold miner and you're 30 years old and you're perfectly healthy, it works pretty well to prevent pneumonia. Okay, but if you're a Canadian 75-year-old with chronic lung disease or chronic heart disease, it is not effective. Now, is not effective doesn't mean there's not about a 10% efficacy. You can't be sure that there's not some effectiveness. There's a number of randomized controlled trials that say it's not effective at preventing pneumonia. The effectiveness against invasive pneumococcal disease is really interesting. The fundamental problem is that nobody's been willing, for good reason, to do randomized controlled trials that are big enough to measure the difference in older adults. And consequently, we have some randomized controlled trial data and a lot of observational data, and that makes for more controversy than practically anything. I don't know anything else about which you have two Cochrane reviews and at least 8 meta-analyses. I'm waiting to see the meta-analysis of the meta-analysis on this data now. Okay, and you can use these data any way you like to prove what you want to prove. It's a problem. So I want to highlight a couple of issues about it, okay? The first thing is just an interesting question about pneumococcal pneumonia. I think we've all agreed, based on the randomized controlled trials, that pneumococcal vaccine by itself is not effective. There's a big cohort study that's been running in Finland since the early 2000s in which the investigators have looked at the combination of influenza vaccine and pneumococcal vaccine, okay? And when you do that, okay, what you see is that hospital admission for pneumonia does not seem to be impacted with pneumococcal vaccine alone. Okay, the odds ratio is 0.91. It's not statistically significant. It's a pretty small effect. When you look at people who've had both pneumococcal and influenza vaccines, suddenly the odds ratio drops to 0.71. And that's kind of an interesting question. We know there's an interaction between influenza and pneumococcal disease, and I think it's raised the issue again of whether you can dismiss the effect of polysaccharide vaccine on pneumonia, or whether maybe in combination with influenza vaccine, there's something to be said for it. So now let's talk invasive pneumococcal disease. The reason I've put up this particular meta-analysis of invasive pneumococcal disease is because it illustrates for me what the problem is with the randomized controlled trials. So this is the randomized controlled trial data from one of the meta-analyses looking at the prevention, effectiveness in the prevention of pneumococcal disease. On the top is adults in low-income countries, so that's the original South African trial, clearly an effect against invasive pneumococcal disease. On the bottom, that cluster of 4 trials, is adults overall in high-income countries. Again, you see a significant reduction in invasive pneumococcal disease. And in the middle are the studies or the subsets of studies looking at adults in high-income countries with chronic illness. And when you look at that, your immediate reaction is, oh, well, it doesn't work. Problem is, look at the confidence limits, okay? Total number of outcomes in this subset is 14, and the confidence limits go from an odds ratio of 0.35 to an odds ratio of 7. So the answer is you can't interpret these data. You don't know from looking at these data whether in compromised adults there's an effect of the polysaccharide vaccine in preventing pneumococcal bacteremia. You just can't tell from the randomized controlled trial data. This is, as you heard Danuta this morning, this is, you know, totally typical. As you get older, as you get more compromised, your rates of disease go up, your vaccine efficacy goes down, and it gets exponentially more difficult to ask whether there's an effect. Okay. We do have some other data that looks for an effect, and this is now from the same meta-analysis, the pooled results of case control studies, and you either choose to believe that they support the hypothesis that it works, or you choose to believe that case control studies are naturally biased, and you don't know what to say.